We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, Celtics in action tonight. Home game with fans, by the way, with fans in the stands. Matter of fact, I would tell you this. Over the next 2 weeks, they're going to play a lot of home games, seven home games. They're going to have fans in the stands. They're going to get a little bit of a boost. And I think you're going to get fooled over the next couple weeks. You're going to sit there and say, oh, they might have a shot. Oh, they might be able to win the East. They might be able to do it. And then the real test will be starting from April 11th on, where they're going to play a lot better teams than they're going to be playing out west. But tonight, no Jaylen Brown, hip contusion, but Fournier is getting a lot of playing time, and he may even start in this game tonight. Ooh, there's a possibility he will start in this game tonight.
That's exciting. No, I'm done with them. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I mean, seriously, I know, like, Thursday I was in here at the trade deadline, and it's just they didn't do enough. I still don't understand what the hell Danny Ainge did at this trade deadline. I don't get any of it, and we'll see. We'll see what happens in the offseason with Fournier, whether they extend him or not. But none of it, to me, really makes sense. They just added a couple more players. And it's frustrating, too, hearing how they were so close. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
boy, they were right into the end. Adam Himmelsbach, you know. They were right into it. According to league sources, they were just missed on Vucevic, and they just missed on Gordon. And, oh, they were there. And it's like, I'm just
–
it's like it every single year.
Yeah.
Every single year. And why? Well, because, you know, we really like our guys. You know, Danny Ainge, we like our guys. And we weren't comfortable making this type of move. And – it's just where you
know,
are.
If there was like an award for almost achieving things, like the Celtics would be the winners every single year. Every single year, they're almost about to, close to, could have, would have, should have. Like, I don't understand. Like, it just, to me, everyone just gets sucked up into the whole freaking, you know, psychotic nature of trades. And
they do.
You know, it just, it never happens. I will go all the way back to Kevin Love. I remember back when the Kevin Love, like, you know, love affair existed.
Well, that happened
every
like three
little
different years,
thing.
Didn't it?
Yeah, every year was Kevin Love, Kevin Love. Oh my God, Rajon Rondo and Kevin Love were at the Red Sox game, and Kevin Love and Rajon Rondo brought a glove. Oh, that's a sign. That's a sign. No, LeBron ended up going back to Cleveland. They ended up winning a championship, and then Kevin Love is never going anywhere.
Listen, you're already seeing it with these buyout players or whatever. I mean, the whole thing of Andre Drummond last week. First of all, I'm not sure you want him. I don't see what he does for you. But you got to believe that players like Drummond are going to go to teams that can win.
Right.
And win right away.
Yeah.
Aldridge, same thing.
Yeah.
They want to win a ring. There's no money in it for
them. No, the only buyouts that you have a shot on are the ones that the good teams aren't interested in.
Correct.
So maybe that puts you in a Kelly Olynyk kind of game, right?
Maybe. I mean, and I'm not sure he does that.
But it's like this Himmelsbach either. Thing. The Celtics offered two first-round picks and a young player, or a first-round pick to Orlando for Gordon, sources said. And they were prepared to add to the haul. They were, but the Magic accepted Denver's offer before Boston had a chance.
Just too late. Almost there.
You offer, like, you know, first-round pick and a young player. Denver offers two young players and a first-round pick. And they don't go back to Boston? That tells me that they really are never interested in you. You know what I mean? You might have called, but
your
offer wasn't close. Like, who wouldn't go back and try to get a better offer? Listen, I just want to let you know, Denver's offered two players in a first. You guys are offering this one player in a first. Any interest in... No, they didn't even go back.
Yeah, and then Denver
says... You weren't
says,
close.
And then Orlando says, listen, we'll give you 3 minutes, and then the deal's off the table. They come back in 3 minutes and 10 seconds. They go, oh, my God, I was just about to offer you this. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so close. Oh, my God. It's like it's all over and over and over again. It's like we're the fools. We're the idiots expecting some sort of different outcome. We're the crazy ones.
Listen, there were people getting excited with the game yesterday with Luke Kornet, and they were getting all excited, you know, because he made a couple of threes or whatever. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Here's the reality. Like, whatever you're doing, it's irrelevant for this year, okay? Because what the Nets are doing, and I may have to kind of walk back an earlier statement because it doesn't look like it's going to affect them. Like, the Nets are going to be probably, it's like the Nets, the Jazz, maybe the Clippers and the Lakers. Like, that's it. But the Nets have probably, if you're doing power rankings, are probably number one right now based on everything that they've been doing.
I wouldn't count Philly out because they're going to hold home court advantage, and they're really good at home, plus they defend, which a lot of these teams don't. So they really come out there and make you work for everything. So I wouldn't entirely cut them out of the equation, though. I think, you know, just adding George Hill might not be enough for them.
Well, I guess the point is, Glenn, is that really you're not even in the conversation.
No.
You're not even in the conversation.
I thought they were the front runners.
Here's what I was going to ask you guys.
For Drummond. They came really close. Everybody kept telling me they were like really the front runners for Andre Drummond, which I think is just asinine to even put out there. Like, why would the Celtics, under 500 at the time, be a front runner for a buyout? Like, everybody that covers this sport knows how the buyouts work. They go to the teams that are like the four teams that have a chance of winning a title. Who would ever believe that they're front runners?
But they met with the Celtics. Where's that report where Drummond met with the Celtics?
Of course they did. If you're Drummond, why wouldn't you meet with everybody until you finally find out which team is willing to bring you in? And once the Nets are saying, yeah, we want you, are you calling the Celtics back? Hell no. Here's what I want them to do for the rest of the year, because I do think that it's legit when we're talking about the improvement of Rob Williams. He still has a long way to go, still has to develop some type of maybe outside game, mid-range something, better free throws, because he can go to the line an awful lot the way he plays around the rim. So I want him to play a lot more. I want to see Nesmith. I want to see Romeo Langford, who we haven't seen play. And the reason I want to see them play...
When's he coming back? Like 2 months?
He's almost ready.
Isn't he out for close contact of COVID right now? He's been out for weeks with this. How does that happen?
Thoughts and prayers.
The reason I want to see them play is not necessarily because I think they're the future of this team, but it might give Danny assets in the offseason so that you can put something together. Maybe a Bradley Beal deal. Maybe you can do something in the offseason that can make an impact so that next year you improve your chances in the East, because I'm with you guys. They don't have a shot in the East right now. We're fooling ourselves if that's the case. Let's develop and see. And by the way, you've got a coach that's pretty good at that. We don't know if he's good leading superstars deep into playoff rounds. We do know he's good at developing young players. Let's develop these players and gain some assets for the offseason when you can actually do something.
Yeah. Why don't you go to Mike in Jacksonville?
Here's Mike in Jacksonville. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Mike.
Hey, I totally agree with Lou and Christian about we're so close. We're so close. Here's the deal. You guys have hit the nail on the head in this and your analysis earlier about Jimmy G. The Celtics right now, if even in our most optimistic assessment, right, they're not better than the Nets. They're not better than the Bucks. They're probably not better than the Heat when the Heat get healthy. Heat were there last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's they're, so at best they're fourth, and then really when you think about it, like Glenn said, Philly's right there. So I'm with you guys. I mean, what the hell are we doing with these moves just to make people happy? Why don't they go out and get someone? Last year we were what, a couple of games away from playing the Lakers in the finals. We have actually regressed. So here's my thesis: there's two things that are relevant here, and no one's really talking about it exactly. One is, There's either a problem with the coach, Brad Stevens. We've seen him enough now. He hasn't taken us to the promised land. Or this team is too soft. And when Smart is not playing, you really see how soft this team is. When he's playing, it's a little bit of a, you know, he toughens
Nothing
us
changes.
Up a little bit. The one guy shouldn't have that burden.
I don't think it's either one of those things. I'm not sure that Brad Stevens changes the course of where this team is going.
Spectator Brad.
That much. Okay.
He still comments like he's watching the game like the rest of us, like he has no input. We start off slow. I don't know why we start off slow. I mean, it's so frustrating.
But I don't think he's the issue, and I don't know about being soft or whatever. Here's the issue. The issue is they don't have enough talent. And the two best players you have on the team are, what, 22 and 24 years of age, just turned 24. That's your problem. You're not there. You're trying to compete against teams that have their stars are 26, 27, 28, and 30.
No, you
That's
added
a
rotational.
They're better players.
You added a rotational guy in Fournier. You took out a rotational guy in Tice to afford Fournier. Right? I mean, to me, it's like, you know, when I looked at that team, I'm like, man, they only got like 6-7 guys that you want in this game. Like, you know, that you want to play. And they got rid of one of them in Tice, who had a role, to bring in another one, which is nice. Nice add. But, you know, now you're thin at the bigs. But, no, you've got all these new kids you got who are just, they fall in the same category of blech, whatever.
To me, it is the fun part is over. Yeah. The fun part is over. The trade deadline came and went. You had all these high hopes for making a big difference, and you're basically still in the same spot you were in, other than the way games are going to end.
You're going to get fooled.
The games
in the next
are going to
weeks.
End. Well, how am I going to get fooled? They're going to start what?
They're going to win games.
The oh, okay, fine.
They're going to win some games.
And do you think my attitude is going to change based
Yours
on what they're
change.
Capable of doing in the postseason? So best case scenario, they're the fourth team in the East.
Yeah.
That's it. That's if Miami doesn't sit there and say, okay, with their additions to start wrecking fools. Like, there would, in my opinion, it's Miami-Boston for that fourth seed.
And you play them in the first round.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's best case scenario. And if I don't see you winning that, but it's over. No, I mean, it's over. It's fine. Now we'll just see what Danny plans on doing this offseason. You know, what he ends up doing with Fournier, how he ends up using that original TPE, if he extends him or not, and how they can build it. Maybe, like you said, Glenn, maybe they can play some of the young kids.
That's what I would do.
But if they play the young kids, we've already seen it. You know, if they play the young kids and they show, nobody wants to trade them. We heard it last week, you know, Vucevic. Nobody wanted to give up Rob Williams for this kid because they like Rob Williams.
Yeah.
So if Nesmith, I guarantee you, Nesmith comes out and plays well for a couple of weeks, it'll turn into, oh, you can trade Nesmith and get, no. Can't trade Nesmith, you idiot. Have you seen the last 2 weeks? He's going to be a great player. So you know, keep playing the kids, but if they show, hell, nobody wants to trade Pritchard, you know, and that's it. No, he's great couple of games. You fall in love with these kids. You think they're going to be something rather than going out there and actually getting an adult that can help you win games.
No, I fall in love with them only to create assets for the offseason because you really don't have opportunities for them to play an awful lot of minutes. You really don't. You're hoping that if you play them some minutes now, and Nesmith has actually looked pretty good defensively. He just can't hit a three-pointer. And
no, that's no big deal.
He came into the league. Didn't we hear that he was the best three-point
yes.
shooter in the draft?
Yes.
Jerry Stackhouse called him Allen Houston in like a Ray Allen mix.
Yeah. We had him on. That was great.
But Tyler, wouldn't you say his defense has been much better than his offense so far?
That's been his strength this year, which is super surprising.
Yeah. But maybe you keep on playing him. He gets his confidence back, and maybe he starts making threes, and maybe you get teams interested in him. That's what I would do between now and the end of the season. But you watch, Christian. We will get the calls in the next 2 weeks. I truly, if they don't win games in this homestand right now, seven-game homestand, then they're really bad. There's a real problem. I think they're going to win a lot of games here in the next 2 weeks, and people are going to fall for it. And they're going to, yep. They're going to fall for it, and they're going to get all caught up, and they're going to think that this team is right back in the.
I don't know if they will. I mean, listen, they wouldn't surprise me at all. They wouldn't surprise me at all. But the team right now, it is what it is. They're better than they've been playing. We know that in the last couple wins or whatever. But they are a better team. But their ceiling is competing for Miami with that four seed. Like, that's it. And I'm not even talking about the standings. I get it. But the other three teams are far ahead of them. Like, far ahead of them. They're not even in the same league as the other four. The other three teams. And I don't know how anybody can feel that way after watching them.
Yeah, no, I think they're exactly what we thought they were. I don't think anything has really changed. But if they start winning some games and they won two over the weekend, you're going to start hearing people say, you know what? I think they can do it. And I think Christian's right. I think the ceiling right now is a fourth seed. And I don't think that's going to be easy. But Miami's lost some games here.
Yeah, but wait
what
Danny does in the summer. Oh. You guys don't want to. Yeah, well, you're such an idiot. You're going to apologize in the summer. Wait, because I want to get to that big deal they're going
to
do in the summer next.
I hate to say
He's pushing it forward.
He's just setting us up. He's setting them up. He's so smart.
You guys don't get basketball and how it works. Yeah, exactly. Danny knows what he's doing.
Exactly. All right, does anybody want Kelly Olynyk? Anybody raise your hand?
Sure.
Hell no.
Sure. Sure.
So this is Scal during the Celtics-Thunders game.
And then we threw Kelly Olynyk in here. buyout candidate and someone I think the Celtics might be interested in if he was to land on that market. They obviously were seeking someone in that 4-5 mold, and maybe Kelly would be a guy that could fill that role if he lands on the buyout market.
I've been texting Kelly, telling him, demand a buyout. Do whatever James Harden did to get out of there.
So, in my opinion, I heard this live on TV. I thought Scal was making a joke. Just making a joke.
Yeah, he's a buyout you got a shot at getting, though.
Right, he is.
Right?
But that suddenly became a big story everywhere. Like, oh, my God, they're going after Kelly Olynyk. I don't even know if they have interest in Kelly Olynyk. Because what does Kelly Olynyk really do for you? Isn't Nesmith supposed to be a guy? I know they play a different position, but isn't he supposed to give you the outside shooting?
Yeah,
you're going to add another big into the equation?
I mean, listen, put him on the bench, have him be this. It doesn't matter. It's positionless basketball, right?
No, he's just, he could help you.
Sure.
He could help you.
Plays no defense at all.
Whatever. Oh, my God. Like, who does?
Well, some of these guys play
who does
defense. But I do believe, and Kevin O'Connor wrote about it, that this Bradley Beal to the
Let's talk about that next, shall we? I want to get into the Bradley Beal deal. What
okay.
does it mean?
Okay. Bradley Beal, is that the next target out there for the Boston Celtics? It probably is for a lot of NBA teams. We'll do it coming up next right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
I mentioned Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. He's not the only one. People around the league are pretty much saying the next guy up to get traded, big player to get traded in the NBA, will be Bradley Beal, and it probably will happen this summer. I mean, think about it. He's on a team right now with another star in Russell Westbrook, and the team's not doing well at all. So if you're Washington, you're looking at it now and saying, time to blow it up, time to start all over, go with the youth program, and let's see what happens. So Beal's probably a guy that goes this summer because he's not going to hang around to the end of his career. Jeff Goodman was on with Tanguay and Hart, and he talked about the Celtics actually making a trade for Bradley Beal.
I would do Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal.
In a heartbeat.
Right. But a lot of people think we're crazy. But, like, Bradley Beal, now he's a scorer with Washington because he has to be, but he's also a ball mover. He and Tatum are tight. You kind of need to shake it up with something. I agree with you, Gary, and I think they're going to do it at the end of the year unless something crazy happens. You got to shake it up somewhere. Are you doing it? Usually it is the coach.
And if it's Bradley Beal, you're doing it because you want Tatum, who's starting a new contract, to be happy.
Are we talking an even swap, huh? Brown for Beal straight up?
I would think so. Tyler, didn't you say you got to give some firsts with Jaylen Brown
to
get Beal?
I think Washington would ask for Jaylen and a first rounder, and possibly even more than that. I think it would be a first and Jaylen would be the bare minimum.
Beal's still only 27 years old. You know what I mean? So it's not like, I don't know, you look at him been in the league for so long. For some reason, I think he's like 31.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's only 27.
That's what you want, though.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think that's part of like that shakeup. Do I want to give up Jaylen Brown? No. Do I want to get Bradley Beal? Yes. So it's sometimes you got to shake that up a little bit. And you got to identify if Tatum is your guy, if he's the kid that you're moving forward to please, bringing in his boy Bradley Beal, and then you sort of go from there.
Yeah, both guys who grew up in St. Louis, and there's the connection. And so, yeah, I think, unfortunately, and we've discussed this many times, the players rule in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the biggest fear you have is that, okay, Tatum continues to develop. You're still not winning anything because he's still young, and you still don't have enough talent. And finally, he decides 3 years from now, I want out of here. And, I'm going to go with my guy Bradley Beal somewhere else.
I'm just going to say that's not going to happen. I have a hard time believing that is the way the Celtics kind of value not only their picks, their current players, and now their current all-stars. I have a hard time believing that Danny Ainge would say, yeah, I'll give you Brown and a first-round pick. No. Not even
I can
close.
See him trying to offer, listen, I'll give you Smart.
Kemba.
And there we Smith go. And Richard Kemba. And Robert Williams. Those four players. And people in Boston would still say that's
no,
too much.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. You have no subs.
Pritchard
who's
going to
be the
stud,
heart and
dude.
Soul?
Dude, Neesmith, he can I tell you, he can shoot it. And Pritchard's a stud. Rob Williams, he's swatting everything. I wouldn't do that deal for Beal.
No, but that's
and Smart. I love Smart.
He's the heart and soul of his offense and defense.
But that's the shakeup you're talking about. Like, you know, it's like Danny always talking about building talent. It's like, okay, now it's starting to get to the point where you got to build a team. You know, you got to actually build a team. And it's just like, okay, I don't know, identify if it's Tatum and Beal moving forward, build the team around them, guys that fit their game. You know, rather you look at it right now and it's like, it's just nothing really fits, right? Nothing fits. You don't have any playmakers. You have a couple scorers. And like Goody was saying, like, yeah, listen, Beal still averages. He puts up 30, but he's still averaging 6 assists a game. You know, so he moves the ball around a little bit. You just got to identify it. It's time he's got to build a team now.
Yeah, and again, I like the age of the player.
Yeah,
I mean, not only is he a terrific scorer, but he's 27 years of age. And if you look around the league, that's how you win. You win with those type of players. I mean, people can talk all they want about young players out in Utah, but the acquisition of Mike Conley and suddenly Conley fitting into what they're doing, that's a veteran. That's a guy that is handling the ball on every play.
It's so great. Bradley Beal is now. So we're getting this information now. It's still March. He's Kevin Love. That's going to be the guy we point to. People will call up, what about Bradley Beal? I think that the Celtics need to get Bradley Beal. Another person that they will not sign. They will not trade
for. So Beal has a player option for next year, is that correct?
21-22 season, he's making $34 million contracts up after that. He's got a $37 million player option for the 22-23 season.
That's why they're going to trade him.
All right, so he's got 1 year left in his current deal, right. And then the player option.
Yeah,
but they could also sit there and just re-sign him to a big-time deal.
Oh,
so.
You would?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know,
Washington.
No, who knows?
Oh, no, Washington. I'm saying Boston. No,
why?
Because I don't know. I think they're ready to move on. They want to get something for him.
Right.
And you can get a guy like Jaylen Brown, whose contract for the next 3 years is, what, 20, 22? I mean, it's not that much. So you can get something for him like that, a good young player. Rather than a guy that's going to walk on you after a year, I think you would do it all day.
So if you're Bradley Beal, you're 27 years of age, you got another year on the contract, unless you love living in Washington, D.C., what other reason would you stay there? The organization has done nothing to get better, okay, even though they brought in players like Russell Westbrook. But, you know, they traded John Wall. You tell me, why would you stay there?
Well, I was going to say, so
it's the NBA, Christian. As you know, you can take off and go wherever.
But again,
you want.
So you're like, so what's the difference for him just waiting till he exercises his option?
Well, he could do that, but if you're the Wizards right now, wouldn't you like to get something for him?
Sure. No, I know. I'm just saying.
I mean,
saying,
it's Gordon
though.
Haywood all over again.
Next season, he opts out. Now you got to do a sign and trade, right? He opts out. Now, ooh. It's just what we went through here with Gordon, like you
get
just
one
said.
Of those trade exceptions,
he opts out of the player option. Yeah. Now it's like a sign-and-trade Beal. Maybe it doesn't work, but you get this beautiful TPE, and you can bring it in for
TPEs
and it's a rental.
Again.
It's always good
so,
to
I mean,
have
you could always,
the league
you could always
TPEs.
Go that route, which worked perfectly for the Celtics.
Yep, you could do that.
Or you could do it a year ahead of time and get the player you want for him.
Yeah, I think that's why everybody, and I've seen a lot of guys write this, all the basketball analysts are saying the next guy on deck to be dealt is going to be Bradley Beal. And if you're the Celtics, you have to be interested in that one because he's a really good player, a great scorer. And on top of that, he is good buddies with Jason Tatum. Mm. And unfortunately, in the NBA, that's part of the game, guys. You have to make your stars feel good about themselves and the people that you're surrounding them with, right? Or they could get up and say, I'm taking my ball and I'm going elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it could get up. He could get up a few years from now and go somewhere else with Bradley Beal, and you're sitting there going, we could have had that deal.
My question is, Kevin O'Connor is obviously reporting Celtics one of five teams with interest in pursuing a Brad Beal trade. Danny Ainge has to know the price tag would be Jaylen Brown, so doesn't that tell you that he's willing to move on from Jaylen Brown to upgrade for Brad Beal?
Well, see, then you're in a category of that caliber player where you have the assets. You know, you could talk about Vucevic and saying, well, they liked Wendell Carter Jr., you know, and I don't know, maybe Danny didn't want to put Rob Williams in that deal, you know, which given the history, he might have said he's off limits. Who knows? He loves him, right? But when you're in a Bradley Beal discussion,
it's a different story.
Now you got to go around a team and say, okay, you know, what kind of, like, not just okay good players and Wendell Carter Jr. that you like, you need, like, legit players. You know, and I would think a guy like Jaylen Brown would be on top of the list as far as what Washington would want to get back.
Yeah, I think
different caliber player they're looking for in return.
Yeah, I think it's a different level player that you're willing to give Jaylen Brown up for that you might not be to this point. I mean, he'd have to be a fool not to think that if you're Washington's not going to take crap back in return. They're going to want something, and they're going to have to get somebody who's a good player, an excellent player, all-star player, who's still fairly young, because they're going to be building for the future. They don't want veteran players. They don't want old players. If they're trading him away, they're dealing him away, and then they're going to have to find something for Russell Westbrook as well, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when you finally say, screw it, we're giving it up. All right, you've heard a lot of talk about the Red Sox and COVID. They start playing baseball 3 days from now for real.
I know.
Here in Boston.
Got my uni out the other day. I'm all excited.
3 days from now, even though the forecast for Thursday is calling for some rain.
Oh, no, just a little delay.
But what is happening with COVID here with the Red Sox, and should we be concerned? We'll get to it, plus your calls, coming up next right here on OMF.
Back to OMF. Listener discretion advised.
I don't think fans cared enough about me that if I left, they would really give a shit.
Sorry. It's damn near.
Oh. He's going to get a bunch of oops.
Worse than loose.
Doesn't it sometimes just come down to did I just drop an F-bomb right there?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on F***ing WEEI.
Spring training was going so smoothly, and now this COVID situation has made it a lot more difficult.
Yeah, but it is what it is. You know, one thing for sure, we've done an amazing job the last 24 hours to slow down the process and be good about it.
No one else has tested positive. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. So that's a positive, and we'll keep doing what we have to do as far as protocols and guidelines, and we should be okay. We'll be smart about it, but you guys will know. I mean, it's not that hard to see who's where and who's pitching, who's not pitching, who's playing defense, who's not. So it's one of those that we just have to be better, get healthy, and be ready for opening day.
That was Alex Cora yesterday on the radio broadcast in the third inning. He's going to address the media after the game they're playing right now, but they've already leaked out the story, and that is that Matt Barnes has been ruled to be non-infectious positive for COVID-19. Does that mean he's asymptomatic, or does that mean that he actually did have it,
non-infectious,
and now he's testing negative?
Positive.
I don't know. I have no understanding.
No, I believe him. Non-infectious positive. He's positive, but it sounds like he's already had it in the past.
Right.
And he's beyond the point of infection.
Yeah, because right. All I thought it was false positive, but that actually makes more sense.
Yeah. And which is by the way, huge for this team right now. Yeah. Going into, you know, the week, I mean, you already had the dead arm issue with E-Rod, which I think is overblown. And as long as that's all it is, that's nothing. He hasn't pitched all year last year. It happens all the time to starters. You know, they'll be pushed back a week, you know, maybe a week and a half, or, you know, maybe a second time through that rotation, it can be slotted in there somewhere, as long as that's what it is. But you lost him, and because of this positive few days ago, you thought Barnes was out.
Yeah.
Andrees was out.
Yeah.
Who's like your long guy / spot starter. And then, like Alex said, you can tell by who's playing and who's not. So there's eight guys originally. We don't know who the players were, but it looked like everybody was fine except for those two. And then Richards and
the close contact.
And Whitlock.
Yeah,
the close contact. So those two would have been in question, too, which is your other long guy in Whitlock, right. And obviously Richards in your rotation. So it was like, right. Jesus, like a few days before camp, you just lost four starters.
Apparently they've all been cleared.
Now they're all cleared. Because they're no longer close contact because it's non-infectious positive.
Right. You know, it's funny, just listening to the whole non-contact, close contact, maybe sort of almost kind of in the way of somebody else when they were breathing. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when this is irrelevant? When it doesn't matter, when you don't have to worry about close contact, when you don't have to worry about, you know, who was hanging out with who and, you know, who went in. I mean, oh my God.
Did you watch Dr. Fauci on TV yesterday? That's apparently not happening for another 2 years.
No, it isn't. For how many years?
Two more.
Well, if he doesn't panic, then he has no more TV time.
So. Exactly.
But I tell you, you might be close to that. I don't know if you guys seen, we were just talking about this at the air, that Major League Baseball sent out a memo to all the teams about players getting vaccinated.
Yeah, the 85% tier one player thing?
85% tier one is players, coaches, basically everyone around that team. And if you were able to do that and get vaccinated, if 85% of the vaccinations in your locker room, you won't have to wear masks in the dugout or in the bullpen. You don't have to wear tracking devices. Individuals on the teams will be able to gather for activities in the clubhouse, team planes, and buses. So they're trying to get these guys vaccinated. But I think it's like state to state. Because I read that, so I think the Rays, the Astros, and the Cardinals are three teams, I think, maybe trying to get vaccinated tonight or tomorrow before the season starts. And they're going to get that Johnson & Johnson one.
One shot.
So within a couple of weeks, those three teams will be able to do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, okay. So since those states, Texas, Florida, what did you say, Arizona?
Yeah, 16 plus, Missouri. And it's yeah. already passed.
Well, that's what it is. So for so now, for us, it's what, April 19th, right?
Is that the 19th or 22nd? I don't know.
Okay, well, it's coming up.
Yeah.
And that is a, what, 16 over? Is that when it turns to 16 over, or is that?
Yes.
I feel like that's everyone. Basically, everyone who should get it would be getting it. I just have a hard time believing that the Red Sox wouldn't do something similar.
I would think they would want to.
Yeah,
after like, what they like went through last year and this year in camp, if they were to sit there and say, listen, you know, some of you might not be in on it. Again, it's 85%. I don't know if you've got, you know, the 26-man roster, I need 22 of you guys, coaches, whatever. Older guys, hopefully you guys get it too. But, I mean, if you do this, you know, in 2 weeks, because I think Johnson & Johnson's 2 weeks. One shot, after 2 weeks, you're fine.
I think you're right.
Within 2 weeks, guys, we're back on the plane. We, you know, we're busted to the airport. We're in the clubhouse. We can play cards.
Life, now you're really back to
you're
a,
back
a
in
real
your locker
normal,
room
yeah.
again. You know,
yeah,
I the think locker it, room's it, fine.
Yeah, they're going to have more liberties and more freedom probably than most people will have because they're talking about having a vaccination ID card to get you in anywhere else. So Major League Baseball, they would be smart to do this. They'd be smart to do this. Players go out there, and if you get vaccinated, now you can get back to a near normal.
Oh, I imagine, I mean, you're sitting there like the first week of the season or 2 weeks into the season after the Astros get it, and you're playing the Astros. You look over in their dugout.
Yeah.
No one's wearing masks. Everyone's high-fiving.
Yeah.
You know,
it is Texas.
They're high-fiving. They're shaking hands. They're doing everything else. You know, and you know in their locker room, they're like, oh, yeah, we're right back to normal playing cards. What are you guys doing? You look over the Red Sox.
I got to go to Sweet 5.
They all got masks on. They're all separated. Yeah. My locker room is still Suite 6.
It's in the EEI suite.
What are you doing?
It's like, you got my own locker
yeah,
room.
Yeah, I'd be like, let's go. Let's get back to normal a little bit. At least when we're at work, which we are there all day, every day. Right? You got to do it.
So I think this is a good sign for the Red Sox.
Oh,
because it looked like it was going to be a shaky start. Not necessarily because these guys weren't ready to play, but basically because they were being pulled to the sideline by MLB. Because of this COVID stuff.
Yeah, but so. even before that, wasn't Christian Vasquez getting just knocked in the face with that ball?
Well, yeah,
oh my God. Like, it was like a rough week for the Red Sox.
So
and everything is going so well.
Getting stitches taken out Thursday. They think he's playing. He said he's not missing it. I think he talked in Zoom today.
Yeah, he's already said
it
he's
looked
playing.
Bad. I mean, just the eye, the bruise, the cut. He's getting stitches
Looks
taken
like
out.
A James Bond villain.
Yeah, but it is huge because those four guys were throwing the ball great. Like, Richards had his issue early on. Erod was out. You know, Erod be going to miss still, but Barnes has been locked in. Whitlock's been outstanding. Andrew's been throwing the ball well. Those four guys, like, you don't want to go in the year not having those four guys for a week. And then you know, a guy like Barnes, if he had to sit for 10 days.
And can't do anything.
Now he's going to be coming back, throwing a bullpen. Like, you don't want to interrupt anything. They're all throwing the ball real well. They took a day or two off, and now they're back at it again.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny when you brought up the story about Houston, what they're going to do. Like, you know, that Cora, being the guy that he is monitoring what all these other teams are doing just to figure out how can we make our experience overall easier and better.
Yeah.
We need to make this as close to a real baseball season as possible. I mean, lucky for him. I mean, he missed all the antics, all the craziness that existed last year. It comes back and, you know, I would say by the time the summer comes around, like, you really should be I mean, really, just hitting on all cylinders, right? I mean, you should be fine. There should be no issues whatsoever.
So they're going to be at full strength for the start of the season. And something I think hours ago we were not convinced that that was going to be the case.
But yeah, no, it's. I mean, you don't have E-Rod, right? So that's not good. But Tanner Houck threw today, threw real well. So maybe he slots in for one start that time through. But I would think E-Rod would be ready. Second time through the rotation, maybe you put him as the fifth starter. So, you know, he's 10, 11 days away from opening day to being having to throw in a game. He should be fine by that. As long as it's just dead arm, which is just the guy got tired. And happens to a lot of pitchers.
I wanted to ask you about that because we've seen pitchers, especially out of the gate, have this dead arm. So he didn't pitch at all all of last season. They wouldn't let him, right? He couldn't do anything.
Yeah, no, it's you know, so, yeah, he didn't pitch last year, couldn't do much. So he comes into camp, and a lot of guys, like, even if they had pitched the year before, Yeah, but it's always like week three, you know, I would say like early March, guys get dead arm and they're like, ah, oh, he's got pushed back a week and maybe he doesn't make that first start just because his timing, everything got messed up. But it's usually, if it's just dead arm again, it's not that serious. You just sort of say, okay, well, we got to push it down. We got to calm him down a little bit. Doesn't try to push through it. And he should be ready to go. Maybe miss a start. Two tops, I would think. That's it. He'll be ready.
Well, and to me, he really is the key to the season. That's the top of your rotation until Chris Sale comes back. And we don't know when that's going to be. And we don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back. If he has to miss more time than that, boy, then you're going to another starter. You're moving down the depth chart. That is not a good thing.
But well, as long as, yeah, long term. But if you got to put Hulk in there first outing, I don't think that's a problem. You know, I don't think it's a problem at all. You know?
Well, the other thing too with Lou is the first couple of weeks. How many innings are starters going anyway?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Erod was one of the guys you're going to ride. It seemed like the way camp was going, and that's why guys like Andrees and Whitlock are so important. Like those guys are like the multiple inning guys in your bullpen. So hopefully a starter can give you five or six. You know, but that one outing where the guy's going four because he's struggling a little bit, you go to those other guys to give you two or three to get to your pen. No, they're pitching through the ball real well. I know a couple of outings there late, but it's drastically better than it was last year. And you certainly didn't want to go in the year with four, five arms counting Erod down for any length of period of time. So this was huge for them. And you weren't down for long either, just a couple days before they found these results.
No, this is good. This is really good news because the last couple days it did not look good. So they open up on Thursday, and coming up at 5 o'clock today, we will give you the final clue for your chance, your opportunity to win a pair of tickets.
Code word.
To see the game. Code word. To see that game coming up on Thursday, as there are going to be about 4,500 fans who are going to get an opportunity to once again be live in a ballpark, and you could be one of them, you and your favorite friend. We'll do that at 5 o'clock today.
Your it'll favorite be friend,
and we give it away tomorrow. Is that correct, guys? Is that correct? We give the tickets away tomorrow.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Does anybody know? I have no idea.
Where's the memo? Where's the?
Nobody gave us anything. I made sure we were only responsible for the code word, and so far, I feel like that was too much for us to handle.
Promo code WI.
That should be the code word. WI. Can I throw something out there real quick?
Go
I know,
ahead.
Just you know, quick little left turn.
Yep.
I mean, because we've been talking Jimmy G. And I just saw this from Albert Breer. Obviously, 49ers GM John Lynch. Now, you tell me if this is bogus. You tell me if they are just lying, and I'm falling for it. Here's what John Lynch said regarding Jimmy Garoppolo. We felt like we had a team that can compete, like we all feel like. We went to ownership, said, hey, things are looking good. We want to make this trade, but we don't want to say goodbye to Jimmy. Ownership signed off on keeping both a rookie and Jimmy Garoppolo.
And so do we do this? And what did Kyle Shanahan say? And
what did Kyle Shanahan say? We're done? Hey, that's it? End of story? Okay, I will add this, Glenn. Sounds great, Albert. Thank you for the insight. Thank you for the scoops right there from our good friend John Lynch. If things go well, they will move him.
Correct.
Okay, but again, that is a long shot. I keep reiterating that because I do not feel like it's going to happen. Like, they need him. Now, if there's this huge beacon of light that says, go the other way, you're good, build your team, you just traded all these assets to get a third pick in the draft, let's get some back, they will move him. They'll move him.
If they start camp.
I just don't think it'll happen.
If they start camp and they're sitting there gushing over Mac Jones and he's picking stuff up, Kyle Shanahan said, they're going, it's amazing. He picks stuff up in a matter of hours. It's unbelievable.
A matter of hours. Like he's some sort of supercomputer.
Well, it's taking Cam a year and a half here.
Hold on. You mean I don't have the best offensive line in the whole league? I don't have the two best receivers, the best tight end, the best running backs, and the best defense, and the best special teams,
which may
kicker.
Make him look
even
better.
I don't have that.
So I can actually miss
on all my throws and still be right?
Listen, if they look at it and they say, we can go with this kid, you're crazy if you think they're going to carry that money with Jimmy Garoppolo. The money is too much.
I feel like the information that I'm getting, I'm sticking with. I believe them.
I find it hard to believe they're going to just release Jimmy G. That's
well,
all.
They may be running out of options to deal him away.
Well, then I don't think you move him.
If you get to August, yeah, but he may never have more value than he has in August. So you might sit there and say, we're not going to get much for him. Maybe Bill will give us a third or a fourth for him. But if we keep him and we go with Mac Jones as our quarterback, then we're carrying a $26 million backup quarterback. He has no value.
The best thing. So isn't Jimmy Garoppolo basically in the same boat that – this is why I think it's a tad bit ironic, is now he's in the same boat that Brady was years ago.
Yes.
And the same boat that Aaron Rodgers is in now. Like, and I think that Matt Ryan will be in soon. History constantly repeats itself.
Wait a minute, this is the way it works, though. For Tom Brady, it was a second round draft pick. In this case, for Jimmy Garoppolo, they just traded three first and a third for him.
I'm hearing more about it. It looks like Kyle Shanahan spoke with Garoppolo about the trade also. And he says, Shanahan says, obviously, no one wants to hear that. He wasn't totally excited about it, as you'd expect. This doesn't change any of our circumstances right now. We've got a real good team. Listen, they got, there it is.
Right now.
Okay, he's not David Culley, but he's basically like, these coaches will never, ever back themselves into a corner.
So what they did was they probably took some of those phone calls over the last month or so about with other teams about Jimmy Garoppolo. But because of the injuries and everything else, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have tremendous value out there. And so as time has gone on, all of these teams have plucked their quarterback. All right, they're all got Indianapolis is taking care of their quarterback. Chicago with Andy Dalton, they've all got their quarterback. Now there's less of a market out there. Now you could say Chicago, but Chicago's got $600,000 under the cap. They can't work out a deal with San Francisco right now. They put all their money into Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. New England's the only team. There are no other teams out there. So if you're San Francisco, if you could get a first round draft pick for him right now, they would do it in a freaking heartbeat. They would take that risk.
So here's the get that. But see, we keep thinking about the worst case scenario for Jimmy Garoppolo. He goes out there, he throws a bunch of interceptions, he gets hurt. Here's the problem that San Francisco, actually, it's not even a problem. You draft a guy in the third pick overall, you got him for 5 years. Jimmy Garoppolo's got 2 years left on his contract. Worst case, best case scenario for Jimmy Garoppolo, he goes out there and he balls out and they go to the Super Bowl again.
Yep.
Okay, so now he's not going anywhere. They're keeping him.
So
they would not get rid of them.
What are they doing with the kid that's sitting on a bench?
He sits. What do you think the Love kid over in Green Bay is doing? He's sitting. You still have him for 3 years.
Yeah, but they gave him a late first round draft pick.
I'm just saying, Glenn, there's nothing wrong with knowing
you have a quarterback for 4 years. If year one, he sits on your bench. And you gave up an awful lot for him, but you are secure at that position moving forward.
Yeah, but the reason you made this move and gave up all of these assets is because you don't believe Jimmy Garoppolo is
going
to die.
But more importantly, in the future. This is what you do. You buy, you sit, you wait, you marinate. Now, if Jimmy Garoppolo goes out there and gets some sort of rib injection and they puncture a lung, well, that'll be it for him.
That'll never happen in the NFL. He's not the guy of the future. It's like the same thing if the Patriots trade up, which I want them to do, and go to 4 or 5 and take Lance or take Fields. It's not for 2021. It's to make sure I got a quarterback for the future. And I think that's kind of where these guys are at as well.
Yeah, I think the future is now for the 49ers, and I think they took that into consideration, and that's why it might be, as a lot of people have pointed out, Mac Jones. They're looking at getting him ready as quickly as they possibly can, and that's what will, I think, determine the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. If Mac Jones comes up to speed pretty quickly and they think he can be the guy, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. They're going to find a way of preserving that money, and I think you're right. If they bring in Mac Jones and they go, oh, my God, he's not as smart as we thought he was, he really can't figure this out, then their insurance policy is Jimmy Garoppolo. For the New England Patriots, their insurance policy is Cam Newton. But if somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo falls on their lap
but
in August,
the thing.
You guys are crazy if you don't think Bill Belichick is going to pounce all over Jimmy Garoppolo.
The Patriots are doing the same thing.
Yes.
The Patriots are doing the same thing. Yeah. They're going to draft the quarterback. I just don't think, Lou, that it's going to be the aggressive
Kellen
move
Money
up like you expect.
I want it to be.
Listen, the more you see these pro days, the more you see all these guys that they're not the cream of the crop, supposedly, but they're competent, you know, qualified, athletic, you know, good quarterbacks.
Who?
The dude out of Kellen Munn's one.
So now we've gone from like first round picks are off in bust.
Oh, the Stanford kid. That's the guy I'm thinking of.
Dan Mills.
Yeah.
But now we're talking ourselves into it. Because we say first round picks are busts. There's no guarantees. But now we're saying the second and third round picks, they're going to be great.
But I'm an acceptance.
I wouldn't bet
I'm
at
acceptance.
I'm betting on Trevor
but here's
Lawrence.
The other thing. So you're not going to move up. So here's the thing. Say you draft a quarterback, two or three. So what? You draft another one the very next year. You just keep drafting them. That's what they've been doing over the years.
That's what bad teams do.
That's Cleveland Browns.
Teams that are desperate for quarterbacks.
All right, this hour of OMF brought to you by Window World of Boston. Call 1-800-NEXT-WIN or online at windowworldofboston.com. We'll get to your phone calls coming up next. But plus the latest on Deshaun Watson. Is he taking a different tactic now in trying to deal with these now 20 cases against him? We'll do some of that coming up next.
Looks like Kyle Hanahan spoke